Tom, good morning.
Hey, Coach.
Good morning, man.
What's up?
How's it going, man?
Basketball.
Yeah.
basketball.
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, football season's over for us. I mean, Titans are gone, and, you know, UT and Vandy are long gone. So it's time to really, right, Greg, dive deep into hoops now.
Well, this should be easy. We're going to have Tom break down the Harden four-team deal and break down all aspects of it. Yeah. And then in 15 minutes, we'll say goodbye to him.
That's
okay?
Right.
Because it would take that long. Just your initial reaction, of course, the news, James Harden to the Nets. The Rockets get the world. I mean, three players, four unprotected first-round picks, four unprotected first-round pick swaps, and then the Pacers and Cavaliers also involved in it, but obviously the headline, Harden to the Nets. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you said to break it down, guys. I've read this since it broke late last night, and I still have not connected all the dots. But initial reaction, I think this serves a lot of purposes. The big winner in this, I think, are the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets, after Monday night's game, of course, Harden laments that this can't be fixed, it's broken. You know, I've done everything that I could for the city. So he clearly was doing everything he could to get out of there. So they're able to remove that. Brooklyn, in turn, mortgages their future for the here and now and get really depletes their depth, but adds a legitimate MVP candidate to their roster that on paper now becomes a favorite. Very, very critical to make that assessment. On paper, they become the favorite in the East. But I do believe Houston is the big winner of this. They get Victor Oladipo via Indiana, 20.7 rebound a game guy. John Wall, now it becomes John Wall's team. Houston's not short on talent, of course, with Eric Gordon and DeMarcus Cousins. And Oladipo's in the last year of his contract. So Houston can really pivot a lot of different ways, guys. With the four first-round draft picks, they've incurred a lot of capital to, if they want to go complete rebuild after the year's over, it's fine. If they want to re-up with Oladipo, if this thing works out for them, they'll be able to do that as well. So I really like it from Houston's standpoint. I think there are more questions than answers for the Nets. Obviously with Kyrie Irving, Durant just played his first back-to-back last night and looked really good doing it with only nine available players. But two big questions for the Nets, guys. Defensively, who are they going to stop, or who do they care to stop? And then front court depth, losing Jared Allen is going to be, a bigger loss than what most people might think, just because Jared Allen had displaced DeAndre Jordan in the starting lineup as early as this week. So it makes them a little thin in the post, but certainly offensively, they just became the best offensive team in the NBA.
Yeah, and that's my big question, Coach. You hit the nail right on the head. Who are they going to defend? I mean, neither Kyrie Irving or James Harden could guard the three of us. You know, who's going to protect the rim? And Kyrie Irving and James Harden are both ball-centric guys, dribble, 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 step back three. There's only one ball to go around. You got Kevin Durant, who's the second-best player on earth. He should be the focal point of their half-court offense. But, you know, you got two guys in Irving and Harden that like to, you know, hog the ball, for lack of a better term. How's this going to work?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Of course, the great thing for Harden is he reunites with Mike D'Antoni, who's on Steve Nash's staff, and obviously was very influential in Steve Nash's career. And if you watch the Nets play, I mean, they play that D'Antoni 7 seconds or less offense. Now, the question then becomes, you've got arguably one of the top three basketball players in the world right now in Kevin Durant, maybe the top basketball player in the world. He looked awful good last night, guys. Scored 26 in 30 minutes First, like I said, first time out, back-to-back, coming off the Achilles injury. So he clearly is the best player on their team. The problem will become everybody knows that except two other players, right? So,
And Kyrie has a history of that, Coach, right? I mean, you know, he played with LeBron, sure, and he thought he was the best player, and so he's like, I don't need LeBron. I'm leaving,
sure,
which is ridiculous.
Sure. So this is where it'll be a real test for Steve Nash as a coach to see if somehow he can get some chemistry with those guys and get a cohesive unit. Because if, and it's a huge underlined, bold, italics, if they can play together, they can be a very dangerous, dangerous basketball team. Losing Caris LeVert is a big loss for them. I mean, that's 18.5 points consistently a game. And LeVert did a lot. I mean, he would allow Durant to do his thing, really played well off of him. And it, like I said, I think the Jared Allen loss in the front court is going to hurt. So automatically, you saw last night Reggie Perry, the freshman or not rookie out of Mississippi State, who led the SEC in rebounding and double doubles last year. All of a sudden, his minutes are going to go way up in a hurry in an effort to help DeAndre Jordan inside. They're going to have to get a lot more from Jeff Green. Some of their other guys that have kind of been in the shadows are going to have to step up. They've got three roster spots to fill. I mean, they're down to three roster spots because of this trade. So it's very interesting to look at such a blockbuster deal with so many moving pieces.
And Kyrie Irving, the wild card in all of this?
I think so. I think he's the fulcrum. He's the pivot man.
Fulcrum. That's a big word.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think he could kind of codify Durant and Harden. Obviously, they played together. It's not dissimilar to when Russell Westbrook's Harden and Durant were all three together in Oklahoma City. So you remove Westbrook and you add Kyrie Irving. Can it work? I think it can. You know, those great Oklahoma City Thunder teams, they have dirty work guys around them. I don't know how much of this Brooklyn Nets team has of that. But if Steve Nash, Mike D'Antoni, that staff can get this team to buy in to the 7 seconds or less offense that they like to play, I think Kyrie, certainly, to your point, Greg, is the key to making it work.
Coach Tom Hodges is with us. That's how you can follow him on Twitter as well. We want to move from the NBA because I want to know how good Alabama is. I'm going to get to this. They've gone in and won at Tennessee,
yep,
which was a surprise. It wasn't a surprise that they went in and to Rupp Arena and won because of everything that Kentucky's going through, mm-hmm, but they won by 20.
Yeah.
How good is Alabama?
Well, I think they're pretty good, guys. Every time I think there may be some holes there, because when you look at their stats don't jump off the paper as much as even Tennessee's, some of your other elite, not just SEC, but national contenders. I mean, so just to give you an idea, Alabama's had right at 1,100 total possessions in their season so far. 264 of those possessions have been in transition. Of those 264 possessions, they've only scored about 0.8 tenths of a point in transition, which nationally is very poor. That's in the lowest 13th percentile nationally for transition offense. And in this day and age, as fast as they want to play, I mean, they're in transition 23.7, you know, right at 24% of the time. Their conversion rate in transition is not great, is what I'm trying to get to. So what they are really good at is being in the half court, hitting open shots. They do a very good job hitting open shots. And defensively, they're schematically, defensively, just really solid. So I don't think they're great, but I also think they're good enough to beat anybody in the SEC, as they've already shown with a win at Tennessee. I think they're good enough to beat anybody in the SEC. The game against LSU coming up on the 19th, next Tuesday, looms large, because LSU absolutely throttled Arkansas the other night, guys, in a very impressive showing. Really opened my eyes to LSU. That Alabama-LSU game coming up could be really, really interesting to see exactly who's going to sit atop the league in the first half.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. We're talking with Tom Hodges. Pretty interesting when you look at the SEC. We thought Arkansas, you know, they came out of the gates fast. We just talked about Alabama. Tennessee's highly ranked. Overall, how would you assess the quality of the Southeastern Conference as compared to other conferences so far this college basketball season?
Yeah, John, you know, it's interesting. I was kind of looking at that, going over notes this morning. It's so interesting because you've got the SEC and the ACC that have good teams, not great teams. Mm-hmm. I think Tennessee has a chance to be great in that national, you know, true Final Four contender status. The ACC, you know, their highest-ranked team right now is Louisville at 16th. Tennessee is sitting there, you know, right on the edge of that. Missouri got up to a hot start and it kind of fizzled, now 1-2 in the league. So the SEC has really cannibalized itself early with Alabama coming out on top. Now, you take a step back. Nationally, the Big Ten and the Big 12 are completely dominant on the basketball scene right now. The Big Ten is probably where the best basketball in the country is being played.
We haven't said that in a while, have we, Coach?
No, and it's fascinating. They could, if the tournament happened today, John, they would send 11 teams to the NCAA tournament. it's remarkable. The Big 12, obviously, with Texas, and Texas drops a buzzer beater last night at home to Texas Tech, Kansas, and then obviously number two in the nation, Baylor. So the Big Ten and Big 12 are really your power players as it shakes out in this basketball season.
What about Michigan, speaking of the Big Ten? Where are you at with Michigan? Are they for real or are they fugazi?
I am totally all in on Michigan.
Okay.
Absolutely, 100%. They are legit. They absolutely have throttled the best teams.
I mean, they opened up a can on Wisconsin the other night. No, was that Wisconsin they beat?
Yeah, it was bad. It was like 30 or something or more.
So they've beaten three top 10 teams by an average of 19 points. Mm. I mean, it's just – it's unbelievable. And they're led in scoring and rebounding by a freshman, Hunter Dickinson. Get this, guys. 7'1", freshman from Virginia, played at DeMatha High School. He is the winningest player in DeMatha High School history. And if you know anything about high school basketball, DeMatha is among the elite of the elites in boys' high school basketball.
Who was their coach forever? Famous high school coach.
Morgan Wooten.
Yeah, Morgan Wooten. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Hodges. Oh, go ahead, Tom. Yeah.
The Michigan, if I was picking a Final Four today, it would be Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, and then I'd give you the field for the fourth.
Coach Tom Hodges with us. We had a call, Jeff in the Borough, pointing out that the leading in women's basketball, Division I women's basketball, the leading scorer in the country, Anastasia Hayes, coached her, obviously, was involved in the recruiting of her at MTSU. And I even want to note on the number two scorer in the country is Chelsea Perry at UT Martin. The Lady Raiders, 4-0 start, and we'll talk about the Southern Miss coach in a minute, but noting that the leading scorer in the country is Anastasia Hayes.
Yeah, Coach Rick Ensel, they've won six basketball games in a row after starting against a really tough schedule, trending up in Conference USA, the only team to have won, you know, in this new schedule format. Both of their weekends, they've won back-to-back. Went to FIU in Miami last week and looked really good doing it. Scored 99 without going into overtime in that second game. So Anastasia Hayes obviously is well decorated. Started her career at the University of Tennessee for Holly Warlick as a freshman. At the University of Tennessee, she was SEC Sixth Woman of the Year as a freshman, then transfers to MTSU and has had unbelievable success. And she does it at 5'6", 5'7". I was joking with Coach Ensel the other day. I said, you know, I really like your odds when you have Anastasia Hayes with the ball and it's tied or you're down one. Because there's not anybody in the country that can stay in front of her one-on-one. Her speed, her quick twitch to the basket is on the pro level. She is must-see basketball and plays opposite of her sister, Aislinn Hayes, who's also a 20-point scorer. Obviously, that Hayes backcourt has been winning a bunch of ball games for a long time, first at Riverdale and now at MTSU.
And the Southern Miss women's basketball coach, Joy Lee McNellis, announcing to her team and everybody Saturday, stage 4 lung cancer. That's sad.
Horrible news.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And I've known Joy Lee ever since she was a head coach at University of Memphis when I first started coaching. There's not a better person, better coach, better person. She's a woman of great faith. It's heartbreaking what she's the news that she's been dealt. Now, if I know Coach McNellis, she will absolutely fight this head on. She will not back down from any challenge, but certainly prayers up for Joy Lee. She's a great lady, has built a great program. When I was at MTSU, we really had big-time rivalries with her Southern Miss teams because they play hard. Her teams have always taken on her personalities. And that's really, really tough. They play fast. They play fun. So I know all of college basketball has wrapped their arms around Hattiesburg and Coach McNellis for what she's going through right now.
Yeah, they play Friday night and Saturday afternoon at Murphy Center at MTSU. Every Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, the shoot-around presented by Goggin Cold Hall. We have our starting five. We have the two-man weave.
The slowest. Fast break and ready.
That's Pavlov's dog by now, Tom. Okay.
Yeah.
And our U.S. Army Legend of the Week this week, Rick Bird.
He qualifies.
Is that the standard?
Yeah. Yeah, he qualifies. Yeah.
Thanks, Tom. We'll talk
Appreciate
to you.
Appreciate it, Tom.
We'll talk to you in this time slot every Thursday morning, and we'll see you Saturday morning right here. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.